Lord, we thank you for the word that gives life. Thank you that your word chastises us, that it gives us a new focus. This morning, speak to us. Give us ears to hear your voice. Give us an obedient heart that loves you and obeys you out of love. We just sang that there is corruption and perdition in this world. How did it get there? Through our fallen human nature. The enemy consciously, purposefully corrupted man so that man will corrupt the world. In Exodus, in Genesis chapter 6, shortly after man was created, just a couple of hundred years later, we read how the Lord says, verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the hearts of his heart, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth. He was grieved in his heart. God created man in his own image. But the enemy really corrupted man through and through. And the consequence is he had to bring judgment to the world. Today we live in a time before the Lord comes back. The time shortly before the Lord's second coming. And the Lord said, one characteristic that we will see that it is the time for his second coming is that the age will become as the time of Noah. And how do we see this? We see there's more and more wickedness. Wickedness increases, abounds. Recently, I heard about someone who works in a primary school, an elementary school, telling me what things that happen in this school with the young kids. When I thought when I was in elementary school, this would have been unthinkable. It's not that much time. Maybe 30, 40 years since I was in grade school. But you see how corruption and wickedness increases rapidly. And today, man is corrupted purposefully from a very young age. Recently, somebody prepared something for the Bible class for the children. And in the text that someone prepared for this, it said, God created people as man and woman. The person who was preparing this Bible class for children, they tried to turn it around that there's not just man and woman as a gender. It must have been at the school. And I thought, possible. I thought, Lord, come soon. Make haste. Come quickly. Come quickly. Coming soon is too unspecific. We must say, make haste. Come quickly. But we see that for us today, there is a solution for all this corruption. His fine humanity holds back the decline of humanity. The Lord gave himself to us as the fine flour for the meal offering, completely saturated with oil. No corruption or perdition or wickedness can come close or touch this humanity. The enemy tried everything he could to corrupt the Lord's humanity, and he didn't make it. And this is our solution today for this problem. When we see how wickedness abounds, we need the fine humanity of the Lord more and more. It is our protection. It is our shield. And it holds back perdition. It holds back corruption. We should see this in Zion. And when people come to Zion, they should see the fine humanity. As soon as someone has to do with the people in Zion, they should see and recognize this fine humanity of the Lord among the saints. Recently, there was a doctor at the university clinic in Tübingen who didn't treat this brother well, and we met with the professor. And I must tell you, I've never met such a professor. He had such a fine humanity. He was humble, meek, friendly. I was really amazed. Such a professor. How he spoke with us. How he spoke to us with love, compassion. I thought, wow. And I think he was not a believer. I was impressed. Sometimes I think the Christians are not as compassionate as this professor was. But you know, it was fine humanity, but you know what was lacking with this professor was the oil. Our humanity must be mingled, saturated with oil, with the Spirit. What's special about the Lord's humanity? It was ground. His humanity was ground through difficulties. His humanity was expressed. Through testing, trials, tribulation, his humanity became finer, richer. The more the enemy tried to conquer the Lord, the more the Lord's humanity came forth. The more he was ground and mixed with the oil. Have you ever tried to mix a grain, like big raw grain with oil? It just drops off. It doesn't really mix. But mix oil with finely ground flour. It works really well. You can mix it really well. It gets completely saturated. It turns into a wonderful dough. So for us, that means this fine humanity of the Lord completely saturated with the oil is something that we don't experience until we have trials, tribulations, difficulties, until we are ground. Then the oil can really mix with our humanity. Otherwise, we can say the Spirit is part of us, but it's not completely saturated, mingled with our being. Therefore, the Lord prepares situations for you that are not easy. Sometimes the conference is over and we say, now I serve the Lord. And then the problems start. Not as we expected at all. Children get sick. This goes wrong. Work goes poorly. You think, I thought I wanted to serve the Lord. But you know, the Lord prepared this for you. To use you, to make you useful, to ground you. This is the Lord's wisdom. The Lord's will is often not as we think. The kingdom of the Lord can be built in this way, that the Spirit can be mingled in us through the needs, through the trials and tribulations. And we shouldn't go through trials and tribulations by ourselves. We must go through with the Spirit. Always with the Spirit. Say, Lord, fill me with the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord. We were saying earlier, His name is like anointing oil flowing through. It's not just a few drops. We need a flow of the Spirit. It has to be a river, a flow. In Ezekiel 47. In Ezekiel 47 and in Revelation 21, we see the river of life mentioned. In Ezekiel 47, at the beginning, the river is just like a trickle, a brook coming forth from the temple. And Ezekiel should cross the river. And the first time, it just goes up into his ankles. He can just walk through, take a walk, no problem, easy. But then the angel leads him 1,000 measurements further down the river. Then the water goes up to his knees. Another 1,000 units. It goes to his hip. Another 1,000 units. And Ezekiel says it is a river to swim in. He could not walk and touch the ground anymore. The river was ripping him away, was carrying him away. We need the river of life, not just a small brook, a trickle of water. This is a time where the Lord wants to perfect and finish his work. And the only thing that can hold back corruption in our age is the river and the flow of the Spirit. What really will bring us to the goal is if this river of the Spirit flows deeper. If the water only goes to your ankles, you can go wherever you want. Doesn't matter. You're free to walk. You can also walk out of the river. But if the water is so deep and so strong, it carries you away, the Spirit will decide where you go. We have to ask the Lord, Lord, I need the river of the Spirit. If we want to complete the work of the Lord, we cannot do it in our flesh. We must do it by the Spirit. And this is only possible by the flow, the river of the Spirit. Today, we see the world is, how shall I say? It's tricky. It's very subtle. It's hidden. You think it's harmless, but it's actually full of perdition, full of corruption. Recently, my son brought home a newspaper from the school, and a teacher wrote about a video game for children. She described the video game, and at the beginning, she said, it's a fun game, it's not that bad. And then she said later on, let's look closer at the game. And when you look closer at the video game, she says, caution, this game is a betrayal. It makes you addicted. It makes you pay money. It brings satanic elements into the game. So when you look closer, you're shocked. That's how the world is today. Everything is hidden, subtle. It seems harmless. It seems fine. But behind it is the enemy who wants to corrupt man. And the Lord gave us an answer how to fight against this world today. It's the river of life, the river of the Spirit. This river can really carry away all things. And so we need to ask the Lord. This is a burden also for me in this time, that the Lord would really make the river increase in depth. I'll give you an example of Elijah. Elijah was a man, wherever he was, there was the flow of the Spirit. He was unstoppable, this man. And one spot, it's very special, when he challenged all of the priests of Baal, and King Ahab said, come, we want to see. And the whole people came and said, we want to see who is the true God. So the Baal priests should call upon their God and pray for fire to come down onto the altar of the offering. I don't have to tell you the story in all detail, but they were dancing around. They were even cutting themselves. And yeah. And Ezekiel was making fun of them because, you know, this is all nonsense, humbug. And now, then when it was Elijah's turn, he said, pour water. 3 times 4 jugs of water, 12 jugs of water poured all over the altar. The trench around it was full of water. The wood was wet. And then he said, Lord, show that you are the true God. And then a fire came down from heaven that not only consumed the steer, the bull, but everything, the wood, the stones, everything. That was the river of the Spirit, you know? And then all fell to their knees and said, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. I tell you, we need this river of life today. That everyone must confess the Lord is God. But unfortunately, Elijah didn't abide in it. After a short time later, Isabel said, where is Elijah? I'm going to kill him. And then Elijah ran away. He was afraid. He left the river. He came out of the river of life. Why? Because of a woman who wanted to kill him. We should not leave the river of life because of fear of man. Later, Elijah went to a mountain in the wilderness, and the Lord couldn't speak to him as he was able to before. First, there was a storm, and then fire came. And it said, the Lord wasn't in the storm, and the Lord wasn't in the fire. Why? Because Elijah couldn't bear it anymore. He had exited the river of the Spirit, so he had to speak to Elijah in a breeze, a light breeze. That was all Elijah could take at the moment. But a light breeze is not enough for the work of God, you understand? What did the Lord say to Elijah? He said, you have finished. Now set Elisha. Send Elisha. Elisha. Yeah. Elijah quit. He came out of the river. And then the Lord had to call Elisha. A young brother who gave himself completely to the Lord. When Elijah called Elisha, Elisha was leading 12 yoke of ox. He was ready for the work in God's field. I thought that was really encouraging. And he had a very keen prayer, Elisha. Elijah said, what do you pray? What do you ask for? And Elisha said, give me the double portion of your spirit. I would have said, give me the half, that will do. I'll be happy with half of your portion. But he said, give me a double portion of your spirit. We need such a keen, bold prayer today and say, Lord, give me the double portion. You know, we read the book of Acts and we say, oh, how wonderful it was at that time. It's the same spirit as we have today. We have to ask the Lord, Lord, we want to experience that. We can continue to write the book of Acts. We can say, Lord, give us the double portion of the spirit of life from that time. It has to flow. Why? Because the Lord's coming is at the door. We need this burn, this river, this flowing. Only the Spirit can complete the work. That's why we need to have such a keen and bold prayer like Elisha. Give us a double portion. In Revelation, we see seven spirits sent out over the whole earth. Seven spirits. So I hope that we all have such a prayer that says, Lord, give me such a spirit. Fill us with the Spirit. We shouldn't pray anything less, anything lower. For the work of the Lord, we need the fullness of the Spirit. You know, the enemy will stand up and fight against you right away. He won't just watch as the spirit of the flows and we take over the whole city. He will stand up. He will create difficulties. That's what happened in Acts. In Acts chapter 1, it starts with the flow of the Spirit. The disciples prayed, and they were filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then we see how the whole religious world woke up to fight against them. There was persecution. Everyone was trying to stop them. They were just harmless fishermen, but they were filled with the Spirit. What did they do in Acts chapter 4? In Acts chapter 4, the disciples came together again to pray. And they didn't pray, oh Lord, get rid of these hindrances. Do away with the problems. That's how we would pray. We would say, oh, these difficulties are so difficult. The persecution is so hard. Take it away. What's the use? We say, take the mountain away. Take the difficulty away. But how did the disciples pray? They said, give your servants boldness. They said, let the river increase. That's the answer of the Lord for difficulties. That was his prayer. Let the river increase. They weren't afraid of tribulation. They weren't afraid of the hindrances and problems if the river of the Spirit increases. Once a brother came from Eastern Europe and he told us how much persecution and problems they have. And then the saints here want to say, we pray that the persecution stop in Eastern Europe. And he said, no, don't pray that the difficulties stop. Pray that the spirit increases. We need to focus our prayer that it's not take away the problems, but let the spirit increase. I hope the Lord shows us how much he encourages us to pray for the spirit. In Luke 11, for example, Luke 11, the Lord brings the example of the son who asks his father for bread. He says, the father won't give him a stone if you ask for bread. He said, you who are evil, you know how to give your children good gifts. It's normal for you. How much more, the Lord said, don't you think? The father will give you what? The spirit to those who ask him. How often do we ask the Lord to fill us with his spirit? The father loves to give us things. It's Luke 11:13. The father loves to give us the spirit. Let us pray more. Give us more of the spirit. Yesterday they were saying, oh, 1974, things were so much better, that we were all burning. There is no pension. There is no retirement in the Lord's kingdom. In the Lord's kingdom, you must stay in the river until the end of your life. Don't jump out of the river shortly before the end, like Elijah did. Also, to the older sisters and brothers I speak, be steadfast in prayer. Stay in the river. We shouldn't just desire and think, oh, how wonderful the things were 40 years ago, 50 years ago. What's the point? The Lord wants to go on today. The river is flowing from generation to generation. It doesn't go backwards. We cannot go back to the time of Watchman Nee or Martin Luther. We cannot return to this time. That was the flow of the river for that specific time and age. But today, the Lord is flowing more. He's flowing onward. And the time of his kingdom should be completed. That's why we need such an expectation that the Lord speaks to us. We must believe and ask to be filled by the Spirit. It really doesn't help to desire things to be as they used to be. How things were years or decades ago. What helps is if the Lord fills us with the Spirit today. Amen.